And so here we are. Here we are in the final verse of the 23rd Psalm. Here we are nearing the finish line, so to speak. And along the way, hopefully you've learned a little bit more about this psalm, and so have I. And hopefully it means more to you today than it did, let's say, 5 weeks ago when we began. In many ways, the 23rd Psalm is a statement of faith. It's a statement of faith by tradition made by David. He begins talking about a shepherd and his relationship with that shepherd as one of God's sheep. And as we continue through this psalm, we see more and more how it seems as though this is not just a relationship between shepherd and sheep, but it's a relationship between God and someone who follows in God's path. And so here we are in the sixth and final verse of this psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I say that the 23rd Psalm is an affirmation of faith. It's a statement of faith because, indeed, on the first verse, the writer goes on to say, I shall not want as a declaration of faith. When the writer goes on to the fourth verse, he goes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as a way of affirming that. And so certainly here on the sixth verse, again, he begins with the word surely. Surely as though there's no other option. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely is a word that shows up a number of times, 213 times in the Bible, at least the way it's translated in the New Revised Standard Version, surely. And so if you were to go through the Bible, you would see these particular scriptures, and you would remember this last verse of the 23rd Psalm. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. That sounds pretty appropriate given the time of year that we're at. Perhaps you remember from the prophet Jeremiah, 23rd chapter, 5th verse. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness in the land. Another surely, as though there is no other option. From the 140th Psalm, surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, the upright shall live in your presence. Again, this idea of total affirmation. This is sure to happen. The word surely, of course, is used by other people than God in the Gospel of Luke. Perhaps you remember this scripture. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. It's an affirmation which Mary makes as she is surprised by the angel Gabriel. Our Lord also used it in the Gospel of Luke. Blessed are you when people hate you, when people exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. Surely you can bank on it. It's nice to have those surelys. I encourage you, if you just wanted to go through the Old and New Testament looking for surelys, you would be blessed by all the surelys that God gives to his people. And you would be doubly blessed by all those surelys which the believers have in God's word. Certainly worth hearing. The last surely in the Bible comes from the book of Revelation. It's the last verse of the last book in the Bible. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And so we wait for Jesus' return with that surely attached to it. You know, there's at least one place where I think there's a silly surely. And some of you may remember the 1980s disaster movie parody Airplane. I'm going to go way back to this. One of the more memorable gags from that movie was when Dr. Rumack, Leslie Nielsen, asks a reluctant pilot, Ted Stryker, Robert Hayes, if he can fly the plane and land it because the two pilots have become sick and they cannot fly the plane. And the line goes on this way. Stryker tells Dr. Rumack, surely you can't be serious. And Dr. Rumack replies, I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. It's funny how scripture reminds you of comedy on occasion. And it's funny how comedy reminds you of scripture on occasion. Everything is connected together. God's surelys can be trusted. And I suppose also if your name is Shirley, it's nice to make this connection also. But what are we saying surely to? We're saying surely God's goodness and mercy will follow us. And I remember one Bible commentator who had, I took seriously when I was younger. I can't remember the gentleman's name. I was in my 20s when I listened. He used to put out tapes, and I would listen to the tapes, and they were an encouragement to me. But he always described goodness and mercy from this psalm as being like puppies that would chase you. If you remember when you were a young person, sometimes puppies, you would run and they would chase you. And so he imagines God's goodness and mercy as being kind of puppies that would chase you wherever you went. These puppies would go after you. Now, they wouldn't hurt you. They might be at your heels and they might occasionally nip at you, but you always knew that they were following close behind. And I think it's nice to think about God's goodness and mercy is always kind of almost on top of us. It's following us, and it's always with us. And so this idea is being chased by puppies. You know, you're led by a good shepherd, and yet you're chased by puppies in the same way. How cool that is. God's goodness and mercy can be found throughout all of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament. And if you are to look up God's goodness and mercy, one of the scriptures, and that's why I use them for today, God's goodness and mercy being shown in a world where the goodness of the Lord being shown over the grain, the wine, the oils, the young of the flock. Life shall become like a watered garden, according to Jeremiah. They shall never languish again. Young women rejoicing and dance, young and old men being merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them in their gladness, and I will give them gladness for sorrow. The idea of a God who really wants to give us goodness and mercy throughout our lives. And it all begins with surely. God surely wants to give this to us. And if you know that God is going to give you goodness and mercy every day, maybe you can live your life, even though you go through some difficult times, because goodness and mercy is really close. They're nipping at you. God will find ways for them to get into your life, even if you're in difficult circumstances. I want to continue with the last line. Every time it's the house of the Lord, it's a phrase that shows up in the Old Testament 219 times, never shows up in the New Testament. I think because it really is a reference to the temple. The idea that the temple was the place where God resided, and it was about as great a place as you could ever be. No one could kind of live directly in the temple, but certainly you could come to visit it. You could come to make sacrifices. It was a palace meant for a divine king, at least as far as the people of Israel was concerned. And so this idea of living in the temple and spending time in the temple and being satisfied by God's word and God's presence is something that just continues to resound in the Old Testament. It shows up in the Psalms. Psalm 27, one thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. You can't actually live there, but you'd sure like to live there because that's where God is. That's where God resides, in his temple. Another place in the Psalms, we hear the 118th Psalm, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Boy, that sounds familiar. Did you hear that lately? We bless you from the house of the Lord. So the psalmist is kind of in many ways prophetic because it's what Jesus' disciples will say. as he makes his triumphant procession into Jerusalem. They're remembering what the psalmist has written. And so the idea of the house of the Lord is where you need to be. Again, the psalmist in the 122nd Psalm says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know? Some of us like going to fancy restaurants, that's true. Go for an ice cream, go for a walk, go to see a movie, go see your friends. But the psalmist is glad when someone says, let's go to the house of the Lord. That's a faithful response to God's presence and to the Word of God. Now, we began this psalm thinking that this is a psalm about shepherd and sheep and about the relationship between shepherds and sheep. And that's true. Except sheep aren't allowed in the house of the Lord. That's not permitted. So if you were hoping that if you were a sheep and you had heard this psalm and you thought you were going to live in the house of the Lord, at least as far as the temple is concerned, that's not true. Unless you were going to be sacrificed. Which I'm pretty sure the sheep weren't too excited about. Sheep were not supposed to be in the house of God, of the Lord. But people are. And so this is where I say this is a psalm which begins about a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep and ends really with the shepherd, God as a good shepherd and I as one of God's sheep. Even though the phrase house of the Lord really is a geographic setting, it really transcends time and space because wherever God's presence is the house of the Lord. And we believe God's presence is pretty much everywhere. And so God loves his creation, that he's present with his creation everywhere. And so in this life, we are amid the house of the Lord. We certainly within this building, no one would argue that being in church is not being in the house of the Lord. But even when you leave this building, you're part of God's good creation. That's his house. That's where he's chosen to be. Among his people, living with them, you know, understanding our sorrows, weeping with us, celebrating with us. And so to be in the house of the Lord is really to live a righteous life or to strive to live that kind of life. I wanted to choose the gospel reading today. It's from the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. Some of you may recognize that this is a psalm, or this is a gospel reading that's used awfully in funerals. It's used in funerals to remind us that we have a place to go. We don't have just a place to go on earth, but that Jesus has made a place for us in his Father's house. We will not be homeless in the life which is to come, but we will have a house prepared for us by the Son of God. And I say that because ultimately this house of the Lord is really not only talking about our earthly life, but it's about our heavenly life. You know? Ultimately, we are all going to the house of the Lord. When our earthly life is over, we'll have a wonderful place to stay, prepared not by human hands, close to those who love the Lord as we do, where God is all that we need, our light, our warmth, our comfort. And so this business of this psalm, which ends in such a wonderful way, a declaration of faith, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, it doesn't get much better than that. As good as your life may be here on earth, it doesn't get much better than that. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not because I'm so good, but because my God is so good and so merciful and so kind. We said in the preceding sentence, goodness and mercy follows me. And so I can rely on the goodness and mercy of my God so that I can place all my trust in him, knowing that I will dwell in his house forever. If we trust in the words of this particular psalm, even if there was no other scriptures, you know, empty your mind of any other scriptures and just dwell on this for a while. If we dwell on the 23rd Psalm, We could make it through a week. We could make it through a year if we dwelled on it. We wouldn't worry quite as much. We would be happier people. And when we ran into trouble, we knew that we had a great and good shepherd who's with us and for us and will bless us in this life. And if we follow in his path, will bless us even more abundantly in the life which is to come. Folks, you don't have to know everything that's in the Bible. But you need to have a relationship with God. And if you understand God as a good shepherd, that's a really great place to be. Now, this came from the Old Testament. And certainly Jesus reminds us that he is our good shepherd. And this week we'll be talking about what this good shepherd has done for his sheep. And how he has suffered for his sheep. And ultimately, how he has given us life through his death. My hope for you is that you'll attend the Monday-Thursday service if you're able, and perhaps the Good Friday service if you're able. And if not those two services, that you'll find opportunities to read the Passion of our Lord and to take it to heart. And then have a good time on Easter. I tend to think that Easter morning is not a time to explain anything, but to be joyous. If you think Christmas is joyous, if you think the baby in a manger is joyous, our Lord being raised from the dead magnifies that about a million times. Because a baby by himself can't save us, but a good shepherd risen from the dead can and does and will continue to save us. May God bless us as we've read this scripture and as we've taken it to heart. Please share some of the things you've learned with others. I tend to think there are pieces of scripture that you can do studies on every year on the same piece of scripture and come alive to you in a somewhat different way every year, because God gives us wisdom and insight along with our experience. And so perhaps we'll see about next year. But in the meantime, let us celebrate this wonderful piece of scripture, and let us give thanks to the God who has blessed us so much in this life, that we should see ourselves as sheep to a good shepherd and look forward to a life spent in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.